On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I do like that.
Whatever.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, all out of sequence. Almost over. Welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. Very special show today. When you hear the beginning of the show, you hear a voice. When you hear some of the commercials, you hear a voice. When you drink too much, you hear a voice. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice is Mr. John Shanahan, and he joins us on today's show. John, what a pleasure this is for me.
Thank you, Ron. It's a pleasure to be here as well.
Not as much as it's a pleasure for me to have you here.
I suppose that's a question of how much pleasure you're looking for.
More pleasure than you can probably give me.
Is it a bucket load of pleasure?
It is damn close to it. Yeah. Thank you so much. Hey, man, alive? You are alive, my God.
Mostly so. All signs indicate yes.
Have you been to the doctor lately or anything?
No.
You go for like annual checkups?
No.
You don't?
No. You know, and I just had this conversation with my wife the other night that I have promised that I would go. Oh, there are the occasional ailments which afflict me as an elderly man now of a robust 31 years of age. And I probably ought to, and I just don't. I said, you know, I feel pretty good. I'm a little fat, and you know, I'm tired a lot, but that's just because I'm fat. And pretty much.
I get that. It's just that I don't want to sound like your wife or anything, and I don't know if your voice is as deep as mine, but here's the thing. When's the last time you were at the doctor?
You mean just as a general checkup thing, or when something actually went awry?
Stopping in to see if you're—I don't know if you have any messages. I mean, just the last for any reason whatsoever.
See if the pink slip. They just walk up to a reception at a doctor's office. Hi, John Shanahan. Anything for me? No. Is there a reason none of you are speaking English?
Oh, I'm sorry. One of those?
John Shanahan, anybody? When was the last time I just went for like a regular checkup?
Yeah, or anything. Did you have a malady or anything?
Malady?
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Melody.
I throw a lot of extra syllables into things.
A malady sounds like it's a sickness that comes with a song. You know, I've got shingles in the morning. I've got constipation at night. Yeah. Could write a whole musical on that.
All right. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I mean, I blew up my back about 5 years ago. That was fun.
And you went to a doctor.
Indeed, I did.
So it's been 5 years since you've been to a doctor.
Just about, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, that was a blast.
I mean, I don't want to sound like, I'm sorry to put in this position, but got to make sure that you're always in good shape.
Oh, I haven't been in good shape since my 30s, but I'm still upright. I'm walking. I move. You know, it's another day above ground. Cheers.
Okay, fine. Speaking of cheers,
yes.
Thank you so much for bringing in the wine. When John visits and does the podcast with the old man here, it's not just a podcast. It's a festival.
Woohoo! There's cheese here on the table and crackers. Mr. Van Dam was kind enough to provide. All right. We've barely even cracked this bottle, and I'm saying provude.
There's your malady right there.
I got a malady that I can't provude nothing for it.
Hey, thanks for coming, Jai. Whew, this is fun.
All right. One more drink, and then I'm driving in circles.
That's the call, Rotary.
Woohoo!
Yeah, well, I had to provide cheese and crackers.
Because I brought the wine.
Well, I figured I got to have something with
it. I just think we're funnier when we're drinking. That's my only thing.
I think everybody's funny when they're drinking.
And we're funny when everyone right. else is drinking.
From my perspective, it's funny.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. Argentinian wine.
We are drinking an Argentine Tempranillo
mm-hmm.
from the Mendoza region. If anyone wants to know, it's the Hinojosa 2010 Tempranillo.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to pour myself a little more, as a matter of fact.
May I say red is perfect with a podcast.
Yes. I think I've had this conversation. If I'm just going to have like a glass of wine, I want it to be a red. I like reds when I'm just...
Mm-hmm.
cogitating, you know, sitting, thinking, and drinking. Whites with dinner quite often.
Really?
A nice dry white with my food,
uh-huh.
Unless it's something big and robust like monkey, in which case, Merlot.
I think everybody knows that.
But only with a monkey shank, with a monkey roast. I like something a little more peppery like a Cabernet Sauvignon. And if it's monkey brains, go white.
Okay. Ooh. Somehow that sounded so racist. I don't know why. I don't know why, and I can't explain it. Anyway, leave it at that, place, if you would. Yeah, so things have been good?
Well, I haven't had any maladies.
Good for you.
Or monkey brains.
Have you actually, I don't want to harp on this, but have you set up an appointment at all?
For the big whoosh?
Since we're talking about...
For the hose in the hole? Is that what you were talking
no.
about?
No. No, it's a doctor's appointment for...
Oh.
What is this for, by the way? Are you setting up a colonoscopy and you didn't tell anybody?
I'm setting up nothing.
What are you talking about, the big whoosh?
The big whoosh, the colonoscopy, okay. Yeah, the hose in the hole.
It's the hose in the hole.
The hose in the hole, yeah.
It sounds like walking down Main Street at night. Is that what you're talking about? Or are you just talking about going to the doctor at all?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the hose.
No,
the hole.
I never brought it up.
Oh, okay.
No.
No, but no, I'm not making a doctor's appointment. I feel great.
So you're not going to do it?
A doctor's appointment? Just like a general,
You've been told to do that, though, by your partner.
I have, and then I smile and I nod and I tell her I will.
One of those.
Yep.
I get the same thing for haircut. I refuse to cut my hair because it's all I've I didn't even have that left, but it's all I've got. So I always say, yeah, I'll call tomorrow, make an appointment, and I never do.
See, now, my situation, again, you're trying to hold on to the hair.
Yeah, I'm trying.
For me, I have decided, and I've decided this a while ago, the less hair I have, the less I want. So right now, I'm very content to keep it real close to the skull.
Yeah.
Every couple of months, just have, and this is a great thing. I haven't paid for a haircut in probably 5 years.
Yeah,
because I just have my wife take the clippers to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically like keeping the shrub trimmed, and
right,
and that's keeping it. Keeping the shrub trimmed, just yeah. whoosh, oh, you know, okay. quick okay. one over the top, all and right. and plus, you know, hey, I just saved myself $8. I can buy more Argentinian Tempranillo.
Well, that's certainly worth it. All right, I understand that. You're over 50, I think.
I am.
I'm not going to ask how far over because that's not the point here. But when you're over 50, you're supposed to make an appointment to have the...
Hose in the hole.
Yeah, right.
Yes, indeed you are. You are certainly supposed to do
so,
that.
There's going to be some point where you're going to actually probably set that up. Or are you never going to do that?
I haven't decided, to be quite honest. And I know that that's ignorant. And I know that it's... I know it's stupid,
mm-hmm.
but I feel pretty good.
Okay. I mean, that's good. It's just that's where they... Did you ever lose a toothbrush, for example?
Up there? No.
Well, how do you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing what they find sometimes. It's like cleaning out the trunk,
literally. I just don't want to let Hoffa out.
It's probably so, where he
oops,
is.
Oops, there he is.
I think it's the one place they didn't look.
I've had him up my ass for 30 years. Come on out, Jimmy.
It's really not so bad, John. It's kind of a good time, to be honest with you.
I've heard that the drugs are good.
The drugs are the best ever. And the actual the camera crew is wonderful, but it's the preparation.
Right, that the is, gallon of radioactive waste that yes. you need to course through your system. And I should say, it's not that I am worried about it. Mm. It's not that I'm like, I don't want anybody going up there, because, right. like, you know, not like that would be the first time with a camera.
And you're not talking medically at all, are you?
No, I'm talking recreationally. Whole team of Argentinians yeah. up there. Looking for Tempranillo.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, it's just that I'm not, I don't know, stupidly not concerned about the health side of it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure I will at some point. Maybe yeah. when I hit the double fives, let's check in again. And maybe yeah. then I'll let them up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a place. I mean, it's really, you know, it's quite I really place. Just want the best of the best
it's
up there.
It's quite a place.
It's quite a place. I keep a like a red velvet rope across my sphincter. And I have a doorman.
Do you?
Yeah, and if you're not on the list, you're not getting in.
Yeah. Do you get a flu shot every year?
Not every year. Sometimes mm-hmm. I spin the wheel. I gamble. Because you know what? I don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't like I have no social life. I sit at home. Oh. I do silly promotions for your program.
Right.
And I stay in. And then I go to work and I'm praying to God that there aren't any, like, you know, flu-bearing lepers at
That's
work.
That's where it happens. Yes.
But I mean I have, cuz it's the typical thing, you know, they give them to you for free at work, and I'm, you know, free
oh,
everything.
Really? Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's yeah. nice.
Yep. Walk on down there.
I did not know that.
Got to sign up real quick though.
Well, yeah, they still go there.
So because I am extraordinarily cheap. Yeah. If they're free, sure.
Sure.
Go for it.
Did you get one last year?
I did not. Actually, you know what? I missed out on the freebie at work.
Good.
For timing purposes. And so I just spun the wheel, and I managed to dodge it yet again.
Well, actually, I'll tell you this. I don't know if you know, but the flu shots that everybody got last year were 40% effective. And some say 30% effective, because the strain that you were inoculated for was not the strain that apparently showed up as a flu epidemic.
Uh-huh.
So they did not give the flu shot for what the actual flu strain was. So people got the flu, whether they got the flu shot or not, last year.
Well, you know,
so you were right.
Because the enemies of our great nation are constantly inventing new forms of the flu.
I see.
To launch against us,
well,
in their spaceships, then we don't. We can never really keep ahead of it.
Okay, I understand why you don't get them.
It's only the foil hats that are saving us. Don't get the flu shot. Wear the foil hat.
Okay.
And the foil underwear.
You really should see a doctor.
Foil suppositories, if right. possible.
Foil,
just for fun.
Yeah. Have you been following the Pope?
They asked me not to. They said, stay away, get back.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the cake.
He doesn't want the cake. Yeah, last week he was all over the place.
No, you know, it's another one of those things. I mean, I'm not a particularly religious person.
Yeah.
I am fascinated by people that are like super ultra devoutly religious.
You're fascinated by them?
Yes, because I love the way that it overrides their reason. And then gives them and empowers them to do stupid things, and then go, God told me to. but you know, it's funny. You know, you look around, and you would think that by and large, we're kind of like a godless society. I mean, there's just so much, just daily evil and crap, and people being shitty to each other.
Yes.
And you know, and then the Pope comes, and millions of people go, oh, the Pope is here.
Yeah.
Let's go see the holy guy. Like, where did all you people come from, and why have you not been helping us keep all the evil, shitty people at bay?
A lot of the evil, shitty people are religious people, though.
Exactly.
And so it's a little
See, you have solved the riddle.
That's what you were... actually saying, and I understood it. It's really all that happened there. It's a very simple thing that occurred.
But I just do find it fascinating too that, you know, we in a modern society that totally eschews so much, you know, superstition and magic and all these other things, still think that there's a guy who's picked out by God, who is infallible, and represents what everyone is thinking.
Uh-huh.
And because he gets to wear a big hat. I don't understand that.
I agree with you, but a lot of people, of course, would say has been handpicked. Actually, it's handpicked by cardinals,
right?
Who I guess were told by somebody. It's just the basis. I have no problem with spiritualism and religion if you keep it to yourself.
Yep.
And go ahead, but don't. If you're going to introduce it into everyday life and then tell me about it, then you're infringing upon my beliefs, which may be a tad different. So I'm just saying that...
you know what it comes down to? Your imaginary friend is not better than my imaginary friend.
Correct.
Both of our imaginary friends are as good as we want them to be, period.
Correct. Fine. Good.
And if I don't happen to have an imaginary friend, it does not make me a bad person who is going to burn in the flames of purgatory forever. Like, I just don't have an imagination, apparently.
Like Kim Davis, who is that Kentucky woman.
Thank you. Was that Neil Diamond? Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Was it? Maybe
Kentucky
it was.
Kentucky woman, you she got to own
that's
you.
It.
Something like that.
That's it. Although you would expect it would be some punk group high on some type of moonshine who would be yelling that.
Kentucky woman?
Yeah.
Well, there's American woman.
Well, that's...
Burton Cummings. He was Canadian.
Really?
Yeah, Burton Cummings was Canadian.
That's ironic.
I'm telling you. Singing about American woman.
Huh.
Oh, how dare he?
Like he knows what he's talking about.
I want to talk with his imaginary friend.
So there's a, you know, about Kim Davis, the Kentucky woman.
The evil troll.
She really is evil.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who had many adulterous affairs, many marriages, even had a child out of wedlock in one of her adulterous affairs.
But don't you homos be coming in here.
Yeah. And she says that the Bible does not accept God, and the Bible and the writings do not accept same-sex marriages. But what it, and I don't know if you've heard this on the podcast, but what it does say in Leviticus is that if you commit adultery, you are to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow she kind of accepting one part and kind of ignoring the other,
which is part of the problem. The other thing too is let's ask Kim Davis if she's ever had lobster. Because Leviticus also prohibits the eating of shellfish.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's so much stuff in Leviticus.
I didn't get that part.
When people do this, they handpick that one out of Leviticus, and they ignore things. You know, there's so much stuff. It's hysterical. There was somewhere on the internet, and you can find it, you know, on Facebook. Somebody posts it every 3.5 seconds. There's a letter that someone wrote to... I don't remember who it was to exactly, but it was exactly this kind of conversation. Like, so you've said that this is forbidden in Leviticus. Thank you for the advice. Here are some questions that I have for you.
Right.
And it goes on. It's little things like, my friend the other day told me he enjoyed lobster. Should I be, you know, abolishing him as according to Leviticus this? You know, my friend got a tattoo. Do I have to smite him according to Leviticus blankety blank? Because graven images are also forbidden. And it's just hysterical. And it's just, it's piece by piece out of the Bible of things that they say, don't do this. I was like, actually wearing polyester. Wearing something, I can't remember exactly how it is in the Bible, but it's basically wearing something other than cloth or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think polyester was in the Bible.
It's not polyester, but it's like, you know, you're only supposed to be wearing like wool garments or something.
And if you don't.
So my friend is wearing polyester.
Yeah.
Should I strike him down?
It's a, you know, if you're going to do religious debating team, it's kind of interesting.
Right. Don't cherry pick.
No. Don't, you're going to, if you open the door, things are going to start flowing into it.
Exactly.
And, Of course, Kim uses the excuse with the affairs and the adultery by saying that was before she found Jesus next door in bed. No, never mind. Okay. Something else. Are you enjoying the cheese?
I am. It's a tasty blend of cheeses you've picked out for us here today.
Fontina.
Fontina. Very fancy of you.
Very Fontina. My mission today was to make sure that you don't take a shit for 3 weeks.
Ah, I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, because I waste so much time. Although, you know, it is nice, you know, at work when where I do nothing to be able to get up and disappear for 20 minutes and, you know, thanks to handheld electronic devices, get in some backgammon or maybe read a book.
I got to tell you, when I mean, I had office jobs when I was a youngster as well, at your age, and it was the pure joy was to leave the work area and sit and close the door, even if I didn't have to go.
Yep.
Just close the door and just sit there for a good 10 minutes. It was my only solitude. It was only my only mental solitude from the otherwise very horrible situation.
Yep. I worked with a guy many years ago who was very inclined to middle of the day going and having a nap in the men's room in one of the stalls. And the downside to his plan was that he snored.
I see.
So you would walk into the men's room. You know, you just wanted to go in and pee, and it's like 2 in the afternoon, and all of a sudden out of the stall, like, oh, Henry must be sleeping.
didn't work too well. Do you do this? I did this, and tell me if I'm weird, which you will anyway.
Probably.
When I went into the bathroom for solitude to get away from the desk, the work, do you sit on the toilet, look around, and say, you know, I could live in here. I'll put the bed in the corner. That'll be the kitchen area. Did you ever do that?
I don't know that I've worked in a place with a bathroom that was large enough for me to consider remodeling or looking at my decorating possibilities. I'm usually just in there to kind of snap off a deuce and be done with it.
So the answer is no?
No, not really. Okay. No. I will, however, my thing is I don't want to use the bathroom within 50 feet of any coworkers ever. And luckily I work in a very big building. So I have literally like hunted out like the best, most remote bathrooms in the place. So I have my specific, my specific holes, probably not the right one, my specific spots where I will like, I'll head there and just make sure that are as far from as many offices as possible, you know, and I'm always looking for the one-seaters too. I don't want to be in the stall with the, you know, with the urinal like a half a foot away from me. No, I want the single-seater down the end of a hall, like where no one goes. Not even the janitor comes down here. Maybe they only clean the toilet down here once a month. As far away as possible.
Are they all in the place that you work, without naming names, which McDonald's it is, the place that you go for the solitude, is it a close the door and then there's a lock, push button lock, or is it a, are they all public bathrooms?
No, it's a Close the door, push the button.
That's very important, actually.
I agree.
Because that's where the peace of mind comes. And once the door is closed, the button is pushed, it's all over.
See, and then it's me in the room. And then maybe, maybe a picture on this wall would be good.
Thank you.
And I don't want to use the one where the toilet actually faces the big vanity mirror, because I just don't need to see myself in that light. I want at least like side on. Don't make me watch myself. Yeah, you know.
That is probably the best way of describing the difference between a man and a woman. A woman will go into the bathroom and spend time staring at herself at every nook and cranny, and I don't mean it that way. A guy will purposely never look in the mirror during that whole excursion.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I don't want to see what I look like in my finest hour there, you know?
I'm sure I
make really stupid faces.
A woman will do the opposite. She will intently gaze at everything.
She's like, look how beautiful I am while pooping.
Yeah.
Even now, I look fantastic.
You say that sarcastically, but I think that is actually the case.
Oh, this squint and grimace is really becoming. I should not have had so much cheese.
That's why they have Botox, because They have ladies' rooms. That's where that's where they do it. They see it for the first time.
You have a fascinating outlook.
Sick outlook. That's what I was told by a couple of people. Anyway, it's wonderful that you're here. I'm telling you, is this your favorite season? The fall time.
It is, actually. I love this. This is my favorite time of year.
Yeah.
This sweatshirt that I'm wearing.
It's lovely.
Thank you. It's from my alma mater, Bridgewater State.
Mm-hmm.
Actually bought it for myself before I graduated in 96. And it's actually stayed in pretty good shape. My wife and my mother hate this sweatshirt, and they actually tried to buy me another one. And it's just, don't do that to a guy. Ladies, if he has a favorite sweatshirt, he has a favorite t-shirt, you don't like it, tough shit. Leave it alone. Yeah. Don't try to get him a new one. It's
better. It's newer and it's just as good.
No, it's not. I mean, this thing has been through many, many seasons with me, and it now is the time of year. You know what? This is my perfect setup. Sweatshirt, shorts. Oh, hey.
I apologize
for
that.
And now the musical portion of our evening.
I apologize for that. This is the ringtone that I use. Do you have a ringtone on your phone?
No, it's just like does the
ding,
the ring. No.
Yeah. I apologize.
I want it to go, you got a phone call, in that voice.
Yes. You got a phone call. You got a friend. Now, the studio phone is probably going to ring as a result. I'm having a feeling that's going to occur.
I'm excited by this.
I'm not, actually. I should have turned things off. Anyway.
Fancy phone cover there with a window in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like an office door for your phone.
Phone, are you in?
Yeah. I need five. Yeah. I need 5 minutes.
I'm one of those people that gets very excited by the smaller things in life and not excited at all about the bigger things. When you get home tonight,
yes,
I assume because of your sweatshirt story, this is what happens to me. Get a new sweatshirt, no. Then you come home one day and lying on the bed is a new sweatshirt.
Yes.
And then what do you do?
Just say thank you very much. Do you still have the receipt?
But you know it's not going back.
It'll be, well, can you just try it on?
Yeah, I'll
try it on.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the thing. So many clothes at the house, we'd never throw anything away for some reason. There might be some hoarding issues, who knows. there's always a corner to tuck it in.
I see what you're saying.
Oh, there's the studio phone.
Ron, having taken the phone call, the mysterious phone call in the studio, now returns to his podcast and his guest, John Shanahan.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
That's what he does, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he does.
And that was spontaneous. I swear to God, we didn't plan that. I came up with that. Right now, it's what I do, and then I use my macho, sexy boy voice because this is my regular voice.
It really is. It's amazing how the transformation takes place. It really is nice.
Because let me tell you, you sound like this. You are not getting laid ever. Never getting laid if you sound like this. Well, and unless she's a real slob and toothless and Romanian. Naturalized citizen. The hell is that?
I don't know where that's going.
Sorry, my whole bit went off the tracks there.
I've always wanted to have a British accent.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah.
They do make everything fancier. I almost actually, I probably won't end up doing this for you, but I almost did a commercial, a mock commercial for you, which I love doing. I can't remember his name. I can't remember the name of the character. Something Saint something. Because I think every British man should have Saint in the middle of his name.
Uh-huh.
It should be like Reginald Saint Morris, you know, Simon St. John Smith. But he was going to be, it was like Lionel St. Clair, fancy bastard.
Uh-huh.
Like, would you like to spice up your next party at home? Invite me, Lionel St. Clair, fancy bastard.
I don't think you can go wrong with that accent.
I will come to your party, stand about, regaling your guests with fantastic stories of me, Lionel St. Clair, Fancy Bastard. For an extra 50 quid, I'll get racy and randy. Perhaps pinch a bottom or two, because I am Lionel St. Clair, Fancy Bastard.
It works.
It does.
I'm a little turned on now.
I guess, well, you should be.
Yeah.
Fancy Bastard.
I went to King Richard's Fair recently.
I'm very sorry.
It wasn't easy.
It's like an outdoor mall with corsets.
That's the corsets are the kind
of. I was going to say, let's say for that a minimum of 50% of the King Richard's Fair audience is really just there for the tits.
Yes.
I actually, you know what's funny? I went years ago and I've had my fill of it. And I remember I was standing there and I was not staring at this one, but I just went, you know, when you kind of go to that little vacant space in your head.
Yes.
And you're just kind of looking in no real direction and you just leave the room for a second. You know, you go elsewhere, you grab the paper and you just head out and your body is just kind of there. And I remember I was just vaguely gawking in no direction. This woman was like, "What are you looking at? You're staring at my tits." And then like you run back into your body because you realize that, holy shit, people are talking to me. And I like, and she would not buy, and believe me, she was not worth gawking at. I just left the room.
Wow.
In my head and like all offended. And then I thought, like, you're at King Richard's Fair where people are walking. It's like Cleavage Valley.
Yes, it is.
You know what? It is land of the bosom everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? If you're going to open the museum, expect me to look at the art. Plain and simple. Yes. You know, that's what makes me nuts. Don't tell me not to stare at you if you have proudly, and in many cases with good reason, put them upon display. Like, you dig this thing. Like, you understand the inherent kind of sexiness of the Renaissance costume, of the bustier, of how they push things up and out, and how there might be just the slightest rainbow of an aureole peeking over the top of your bustier. And you're putting yourself on display. Don't get pissed off when people look at you. I mean, okay, if someone looks at you and they start making cartoon noises, you know, you're at King Richard's Fair, you're walking around in your bustier and someone starts going, then get angry.
Well, was this lady that you were staring at, was she in the bustier costume? Or was she just like somebody going to the fair?
She was just somebody going to the fair. Oh, that's the other thing.
But she wasn't in the costume, though.
No.
So that's why she was
offended. Maybe she had on a low-cut T-shirt or something. Okay. I don't recall. I distinctly remember, no, she was not like one of those people.
Because she's at the fair, that's okay.
It's like, all right. You know.
But she wasn't doing that on purpose.
No.
Okay. So that's why she was pissed.
No, I've had my fill of the Renaissance Fair. Like I say, it is like a big outdoor open-air mall.
It is.
Where if I want to buy a chainmail hat, I can, or a $16 turkey leg that I can make at home for $3.50.
Exactly.
Bucks.
Do you know how much it is to get in there now?
32?
Yeah.
38. 38 bucks?
Yeah.
Just to walk in.
Correct.
To walk in.
To look at the tits.
You know, and the funny thing is, my upward limit is 24 bucks to look at the tits.
So you got a cap?
Oh yeah, you got to. You gotta know your limits. How much you want to pay to look at those boobs? Can I go 12?
It's not a bargaining deal, you know.
It's like buy one get one. Like the left one's full price, but the right one's free.
I see what you're saying. You know. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's too expensive, and there's nothing really going on inside. And then anybody who performs is asking for tips anyway.
Mm-hmm. Nice one.
But thanks. But they speak with these English-British accents, and I just find that very exhilarating. I like it. What I love most about it is the phrase, good day, sir. And you're in conversation, and a man says to another man, good day, sir. And if they get upset with them and they want them to leave, they say, I said good day, sir. That's as pissed as they get. They get pissed off by being polite loud. It's weird stuff.
I shall now be aggressively polite toward you in hopes that you will depart.
That's exactly what it is. I went to a place called El Torito. Do you remember this?
Yeah, it was like the sizzler of Mexican food.
Exactly, sir.
Yes.
With a bar.
With a bar,
with
yes.
a bar. That's an important part of the story.
Good day, sir.
I said good day, sir. And I was there with another guy, and it was after work. And I don't mean it in that way. We both,
sure you know.
Yeah. Well,
sure
I mean, we were just know. We both worked at this place, and we go to this bar, and we said to each other, "Wouldn't it be fun if we did accents? And let's see if there are any people at the bar, any girls, basically, we're talking about, mm-hmm. who would just get into this, and actually, something could happen here." So we said, okay, and we both did the British accent.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we were rather good at it, both of us. And it did promote all kinds of conversation. The bartender started talking to us, who was another guy, by the way, so that didn't really help mm-hmm. much. But it did turn a lot of heads. And it was amazing how that really does work.
Isn't it kind of sad? Like, if you're British, and this must work, it must work in uh-huh. reverse. You're British Ooh. And you're hanging at the pub with your mate, and you say, listen, what if we put on Boston accents? Chat up the birds, see if it works. What do you think?
That's funny.
Yeah, right, it's a great, Reg, that's great funny. Idea. Let's get it. And then they'll walk over to someone, hey, how you doing? My name's Jimmy, I'm from Southie. We're new in the country. Show us your tits.
And the girls go,
Oh my God. Oh, American. Wow. Oh, Americans that's are so flattering. Sexy.
I don't know if that's true.
Last week I shagged a Frenchman. Now I shall go across the pond. So to speak.
I can't see that happening. Somehow, like,
and
I can't
yet
see
in
that.
In America, you throw on the accent and, you know.
Nothing.
I would like to go in someplace like that. You know, were I a younger and more attractive man than uh-huh. I am now. Well. Although God knows it would be the perfect experiment now. And to throw in like a very nondescript, potentially jumbled kind of accent to see if just the eclectic nature, you know, just to walk in someplace like this to say is sort of like French, but not really French. It has some, you know, like Irish in it, maybe yeah. too. And to speak to the Williams, you know, and so they'll either think that you're from some bizarre, eclectic foreign country or you suffered a head wound.
Yes, that's what it sounds like
Both
to me.
Both of which could work in your favor, right. you know. So when the truck hit me, I was thrown to the sidewalk and I haven't been the same since. So how about some sex?
Oh, you poor man.
Let me blow you right here on the spot.
All of a sudden, your voice changes.
That'd be great. Right, thanks, love.
Thank you very much, love. All right, next place.
I just pop one off and be gone.
I don't know.
Really, just to see how stupid people are, just to throw out that kind
They're
of
very
accent.
Stupid. Very
Where
stupid.
Are you from? Ismail country.
They're very stupid. The reason that I know, I always knew people were stupid. I always knew that mm-hmm. since I was like two. Reason I know it now is thanks to a guy named Donald Trump. I have learned, I can now tag them with actual, like, tags on their body that you are legitimately stupid now.
By supporting Donald Trump?
That's it. I'm sorry. I hope you're not a supporter.
No, I offend you. I'm very non-political, but at the same time,
I know.
I look at that situation and I think that what we're looking at is a bunch of people who, because he's rich and he's been on the TV,
yeah,
maybe we should listen to him. He must know what he's right. doing because he's rich and on the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you got the accent down really well,
it's a,
too.
It's a cult of personality thing. And, you know, I personally, you know, again, I declare myself independent. I think that I am a progressive conservative, if anything. I don't want a non-politician in the highest political position in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
And I think that it's, I was thinking
that's
about
what they're
this.
Saying, though, so, isn't it?
Hmm?
That's what these people are saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's time for a change. We really need someone in there who'll do things differently. No, he won't.
Can they pick a better person then, though, to do that?
But, you know, from a force of personality standpoint, there is no better person. I mean, from a pure force of personality. Like, if you're just going to win people over by who you are as opposed to what you have done or what you can do, you can't get a whole lot bigger than this a-hole. And that's the thing. That's what, you know, when you watch him on the debates, and I didn't watch all the debates. I watched some clips. He does not talk policy. He does not talk...
Nope.
Anything political. He bullies and he belittles and he talks about getting rid of Mexicans and that's it. And he is the, you know, he appeals to the lowest information voter.
He does.
I don't say that as like some, you know, again, not a highfalutin Democrat who looks down on everyone who's not a Democrat. But that's what you bring into the table?
This is you're talking like the rest of the Republicans are actually talking, where my God, it's not Democrats saying this, it's Republicans saying this.
Yep.
Like, what are you doing here? It's phenomenal to me. He spends the first 10 minutes of every single quote unquote speech by just saying, look at how I'm doing in the polls. I'm beating this. I'm beating that. I am highest in the polls in Iowa. I'm highest in the polls here. All he does is just quote polls.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his message. I'm highest in the polls. It's just
See, but that's
weird.
The other thing, too, is that what he's saying is, you know, look at the media.
Yeah.
Look at the media. Look what the media is telling you.
Yeah.
And we all look at the media.
Right.
And we all go, oh. He's high in the polls. We don't think for ourselves in terms of these things. We just merely look at what we are being told by the media.
But Trump, all he does is like recite what the media that he's reciting what the media is doing in a positive vein, and then he downs the media, even though he takes all the media information and repeats it as if he is the media.
Yeah, cherry picks it.
That's just.
It's scary, but you know what? And I think in other times when you and I have spoken briefly about politics, my problem continues to be that I am really sick and tired of being in a position as a voting person where I cannot vote for the best candidate.
Correct.
I can only vote for the one who is least likely to do the most harm.
Exactly.
It's kind of like saying, I want to pick the moron with the comparative highest IQ.
Mm-hmm.
You're still a moron because in my head, the majority of politicians are morons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to pick the brightest dipshit, basically, or the one that looks like he is least likely to put his eye out with scissors during arts and crafts.
Good point.
You know,
and that's why I can't figure out how Bush got in. But okay, there you go.
Low information.
It's very scary. But it'll all weed itself out, and I'm sure we'll be fine. If not, I got a little place in Canada.
You know, the country has survived. We have moved right along. There have been no catastrophic economic events. There have been no sociological collapses.
Not greatly so.
And yet, every time that somebody new gets into office, one side or the other screams about how, this is it for America. This is it. This is the end of the country. I'm moving to Canada, which they don't.
You have to rebel rouse. That's the only way to do it. Yep, you got to rebel rouse.
And yet stuff just continues to go forward. You know, life rolls on. The guy in the office, he doesn't really, you know.
Doesn't feel it.
You know, that's why we have checks and balances. So no one can just go, today I'm going to completely fuck up the country.
Yeah.
I'm going to push this button and everything dies.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you have people there that go, we have to vote on the button pushing.
You don't get to vote on that.
And we get to complain about that for 6 months and appoint some committees to look into it. And then we're going to appoint committees to look at the committees. And then we're going to shred some emails. And then maybe later we'll come on an intern. And then we'll decide whether or not to push the button.
That's exactly what it is.
There you go.
That's how it breaks down.
Does your glass need refreshing, by the way?
No.
I feel like I'm drinking alone.
I'm doing rather well. Okay. Well, you haven't refreshed yourself, have you?
Well, yes, I have.
Oh, well, I'll take a little bit more sherry.
Well, there we go. Let's pour right over the expensive mixing board.
Yeah, because that's the kind of guy I am. Yeah. You know, I'm of an age where every single thing I put in my mouth, let's leave it at that.
Yeah, baby.
Gives me gas.
Even the midgets?
A little bit of gas. And by the way, the proper term is little gas.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Speaking of gas.
Oh, I can't wait for the gas.
You live, I won't say what town you live in. But you live in a town.
Franklinham.
Named after you.
Benjamin Franklinham, right. Yeah.
You live in a town where apparently it is constructed on top of an oil well because the prices in the town in which you live are ridiculously low gas price-wise. I must ask you now.
Yes.
Because all the gas prices have plummeted. And, of course, Republicans said if Obama ever gets in office, the prices are going to go through the roof. That worked out.
Which I think is interesting because historically, a president has no actual control over the price of gas, whether it goes up or whether it goes down. Nothing ever happens.
I know. I'm paying in this area that I live in, and I won't say where I live, in Flaflintaflank.
East Flaflintaflank, right?
The better part.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah. I always do on the podcast the Antilles, the Lesser Antilles, Greater Antilles. Like, how can you possibly go into a store and give the address? Where do you want me to deliver the furniture? Lesser Antilles. Where? Lesser. We don't go there. I'm sorry.
We'll leave it at the border of the Greater Antilles. Right. You come pick it up with your mule.
Exactly. It's below $2 here. And I'm thinking that where you live, it's got to be extraordinarily low.
No, the last that I saw, actually, I think I saw 205 right now. We haven't actually. The only place that I've seen it under two, I came through the city that we both live next to.
Right.
And it was one of those things where, like, it was 205 if you weren't a member of their gas club, and it was like 190 if you were a member. So. Yeah. With that discount,
The gas stations that surround the local strip club are not
that we know where that is.
I'm assuming it's in that
never
location.
Never been.
$1.97 at this particular time. Mm. So I've got to think that in your town, it's got to be like $1.70.
I would imagine the place that is like the Kmart of gas, like it's the super low discount price gas thing. I've never understood why this place is so low compared to everything else, but except... that other places are gouging the crap out of us because they can, and we all go, I guess that's what the gas prices are.
Exactly. We don't know. We have no idea.
I think I was at 205, but now I need to look when I...
it's extraordinary.
And when they get these low, don't you just go, I need to drive somewhere.
Yes,
I need to drive somewhere far for
advantage.
No reason.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to put on some good music. Yep. I'm going to leave the family at home. Well, I do this, and
no matter what the price
is, drive. Yeah, pretty much. $3.75. I got to take a drive on this. Go about a block and a half on a tank. Now, when it gets really low, you're like, I just want to drive somewhere for no reason. Like, I'm going to go up to the North Shore to get pizza.
Right. I'm going to go crazy.
You know, I can fill my entire tank for $17.
This will never happen again. And then
it hurts so bad when it goes back up.
Yeah,
it does. And I think it's funny. So now let's say we're at 205, which is great. And you think, oh, it's fantastic. When it gets like 225, you're going to be like, oh, God damn it, 225 indeed. When 6 months prior to the big drop, you were paying 254.
Yeah.
You know, but that 225, it's the same thing. It's like with weather. It's like in February, if it goes up to 50, you're like, wow, I'm heading for the beach. I'm taking my jacket off.
Very good point.
In August, it goes down to 50. You're like, oh, well, fall's here. This sucks.
You're absolutely right.
Same kind of thing.
You know, there's no question about it. It's a question of what you're used to in the short haul.
But now, we're down at the like $2 gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to drive everywhere. I want to
just
come on, everybody. We're going on a trip. Time for a car trip for no reason.
Everybody in the car. It's true.
Like we used to do in the 70s, put everyone in the station wagon. We're going to go drive the Mohawk Trail.
The wood-paneled station wagon. And I don't think it was ever real wood, was it?
No.
No. It was no. Plastic wood.
Plastic wood, and the kids in the back just rolling freely around. So yeah. Anytime you had to stop hard, all the kids kind of slammed into the back of that second seat.
I used to. I remember when I was a kid, I got a great fascination sleeping in the back window well, right up against the back window. There's that little shelf there behind. Yep. I would sleep up there. I was small enough. It's hard to believe. And now I'm thinking, like, man, that would, like, my parents would have been put in jail for child abuse.
You were basically a missile waiting to be launched.
Exactly.
Dad just needed to stand on the brake pretty hard, and you were pretty much a .32 bullet.
I'm thinking they didn't stop short back then. There was just no such thing.
Here comes little Runny right through the windshield.
Duck, everybody, duck.
Pa-ching.
I don't know, but that's what we did.
Yeah, riding in the back of open pickup trucks.
Yeah,
did that exactly. Place sit, and sitting, not just sitting in the back of the truck, mm-hmm. sitting on the wheel well, the that's highest right. point right. of the back right. of the pickup truck.
That's right.
So that any good bump,
would
pretty much just kind of, yeah. there you go, like it's going to launch you over the top.
You're right, and I don't know that it did to anybody at that point, but
now
it
and
must
then,
have.
My daughter decides that she's tired when she's sitting in the car.
Yeah.
And she'll she still has the seatbelt on, but she'll lay down.
Yeah.
And I have that moral dilemma where I have to go, well, number one, she's tired and quiet, which I'm good with. Like, because my daughter talks a mile mm-hmm. a frigging minute, nonstop. So when she shuts her mouth, it is a beautiful, blessed event.
Oh, lovely.
And I can say, oh, yay, she's not talking. But then she's laying down. I'm like, oh, like if I stop short, she's going to like spin around and the seatbelt thing is going to go around her neck and probably just go like straight through it, take her head clean off, and they're all going to, and then I'm going to be in the news. And my whole life is about not being in the news. That's my whole thing right now.
So you got to avoid that.
Because there's so much, every day, I mean, what are the news stories that we really send around? The stupid people and how they mm-hmm. died. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that person. So the last thing I need is, area man's child decapitated. Well,
yeah.
He let her sleep in the back lying down. Well, she still had her seatbelt on. Yeah. I thought it was okay.
Do you remember we used to do a bit on television called The National Rag.
Oh, yeah. I love The National Rag.
And we would take the National Enquirer, literally, and The Sun was the other one.
Yeah, the Weekly World News.
Yes. That's what it was. And we would just read the articles, making them come to life, and that was the show. And the difficult part of the show was not cracking each other up to the point where mm-hmm. we couldn't go on at all.
Yep.
And that was the continual thing. But it's funny because that news now, and that wasn't news, it was kind of like joke stuff
right.
in these crazy, stupid newspapers. Now, that stuff is actually news,
yep.
real news.
Yep. It's everything that we forward on our Facebook and our Twitters, and
we used to laugh at it and poo-poo it, and now it is actually like legitimate stuff that we actually discuss about the ramifications yeah. of the actual story. It's just, wow, what happened there?
Because somebody does something stupid every moment of every day, mm-hmm. and I think before we had to wait for it to go to press. Now it's one click of the button, it's mm-hmm. out on the internet, and then it just shares exponentially. And you see it instantly, and so we can all laugh at how the stupid people died.
Yeah. If we were to make a list, draw a line down the middle of paper, pros and cons of the internet, I think it'd be pretty even all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
It really would. I mean, it's horrible and it's wonderful at the same time.
Absolutely.
There's one thing we haven't talked about yet. Hold on.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about you.
Look out.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me.
Let's talk about sex.
Now, here's my question for you, because I don't understand this at all.
Give it to me, baby.
There's Viagra for guys.
Yes.
And I've heard about it. And
if you get any extras, I'd like to leave your house with a couple. But anyway, go ahead.
Is that legal? Is that legal? If you give somebody your Viagra, is that drug dealing?
I don't think so. I think it's just damn good friendship.
I see. It's like party favors. Okay, I got it. They have come out now with a woman's...
Have they?
Yes. And they call it the women's Viagra. But the difference is Viagra only keeps the erection going.
Yes.
Or actually helps the erection actually occur at all. But it doesn't stimulate you.
Correct.
The woman's Viagra actually stimulates you.
Is that the one called Gushitol? No. Gushitol?
Yeah, it must be Gushitol.
Okay. I think that the generic brand is called Sunamitol. And I hear good things.
You're just right about that.
Didn't we just used to call that a lubricant? Let's face facts.
Well,
now,
the lubricant would be equal to the Viagra in the sense that the erection and the lubricant, but this actually makes them feel horny, apparently.
Can I get a case of that? I work in an office full of women. I can see myself spiking the water supply.
Bill Cosby would have a field day.
Field day, Bill. Well, that's a little unfair. I mean, you know, all we get is waiting around for things to... I mean, the counter argument is that men are basically in a constant state of arousal. So we really don't need to be goaded on. We just need little Jimmy to stand up.
Yes, that's right. You know, we call it the Jimmy Fund.
Right now, I'm of such an age and such a condition. And again, my wife and I have talked about this. My dick is happy to lay on the couch and binge watch Orange is the New Black. It really doesn't want to go out and party. It's just too tired. It had a long day. Man. And maybe later if there's porn, you know, we can talk. But probably really rather just stay on the couch. And, you know, and I was going to try Cialis.
Yeah.
But I really thought that... I didn't feel like dragging my tub out to the front lawn every time I wanted to have sex.
That would you have to do.
You know, and plus, I'd have to buy the extra tub. You know, one for her, one for me, drag them out. You know, who has the time for that? That's what that drug does, right? It gives you the strength to drag a tub out onto the lawn.
Apparently. Wouldn't it be sad in your case if the one time after 5 years that you did go to the doctor, it was because your erection lasted more than 5 hours?
I'm telling you. You know, it's funny. They say, you know, if you experience an erection lasting more than 4 hours, call your doctor. Mm-hmm. If I experience an erection lasting more than 4 hours, I'm calling everybody. Jim, you got to see this. I'm calling old girlfriends. Come on over.
The doctor would be your last call.
Don't make me waste. I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. And I understand that it is a problematic medical condition. Yeah. However, if I realized that I was in a state where I was having an erection as I was going into the third hour of my dick not going down, I would be looking for everything. Strays on the street. I would just be explaining to every woman that I could see, listen, I appear to have an erection that will not go away no matter what I do. I have wrapped it in ice. I have ejaculated into things that never need ejaculating into. I have abused this thing 7 ways to Sunday. It's not going down. This is your opportunity. You need to come with me right now. You need to bring some friends. If your grandmother hasn't had any in the last couple of years, bring her, because we have a whole case of Gushitol as well.
Gushitol.
And I would be like rounding people up. Like, look, it won't go away. Let's all enjoy this while it lasts, because it's going to be like free cable. Eventually something's going to get fixed and it's going to go away and we're all going to be sad. But right now, while it is still here and it is raging and it is magnificent, let us all gather in the masses and come together around my unerring penis and just all have a damn good time.
It's like gassing up the car.
I love that music.
I know you do.
That is the most magnificently cheesy shit I have ever heard.
I don't know who does it.
And I'll tell you what, here's the great thing about that music. Not only, of course, is it, it's damn sexy. Yeah, oh, baby, it's so sexy. It's so fine. Somewhere there's a guy who recorded that and went, that is so good. This is the song that I have been waiting to play my whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to release this onto the internet for free.
Does that actually make you feel sexy?
No. It makes me want to wax my genitals and drive a boat. I don't know what that is.
Wax my genitals and drive a boat.
Yes. And then okay. And then I need a woman in leg warmers and a leotard to come in.
Oh.
And because that's that music. That's bad 80s sex.
Bad 80s sex is what it is. Bad 80s sax or bad 80s sex?
A little of both.
Little potpourri.
The 80s were very good to me sexually, I have to say.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, geez, yes. It was in my 20s. Yeah. It was the 80s.
Yeah.
Laying pipe like an Alaskan oil man.
I think I was there.
You weren't one of them.
Not that I was watching, but I think I was.
Someone had to run the camera. Someone had to hold the boom mic.
Yeah, that was before colonoscopies were were so lucrative.
Hose in the hole.
Hose in the hole. We're out of time.
We're out of time?
Yeah, well, unless you want this to be the longest podcast I've ever done.
No, I think you and I, one of the last times we did this, we actually went about an hour and a half, so let's not do that.
We could.
We're
not far from it.
Really? Where are we?
We're over an hour.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No, you need to say goodbye to your people.
I don't think my people want to say goodbye.
I love you, people.
I think my people would have left already if they wanted to say goodbye.
Oh, people, how fine it was of you to come by this evening to share some wine and cheese with us.
Let me before we leave. This was recorded on a Sunday evening, and this is Tuesday now.
Yes.
Tonight, I was told to do this very emphatically.
Okay.
Tonight, I don't know if you know this, but there's going to be a full lunar eclipse.
The blood moon.
Yeah.
I'm going exactly. out for the blood moon.
I'm supposed to get out my telescope, but I'm looking at the woman next door.
No.
Yeah. Apparently, this is like a big deal.
The moon will appear 14% larger.
Uh-huh. Don't we all wish?
You know what I'm saying? Thanks to Gush et al., we all feel 14% larger. It hasn't happened for like 33 years.
Apparently,
so we've got
happen,
that great
yeah.
combination of the full moon naturally occurring, obviously,
right.
and the moon happening to be at its closest to Earth.
Correct.
And I'm gonna go outside and watch it. It'll be cool.
Supposedly between 9:30 and 10:30 is the apex of the eclipse, and I guess it turns the moon red.
Yes.
I don't know why it would be red. I don't quite figure that out.
It must have to do with the way that the light is being
refracted, reflected. Yeah.
Refracted, whatever.
Whatever the word is. Apparently, it excites many people. What's interesting to me is it's not going to happen again until probably after I'm dead. And this
Thursday?
Event, no.
Oh, sorry.
It's not going to happen again Thursday.
Insider info.
Why? What do you know?
Nothing.
Okay. 2033 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we won't be here for
give
that.
Me a call. Give me a call. Go out and have a drink. That's why they call it the blood moon. I know what that meant.
Because you have a drink?
I don't know. I don't understand when I said that. Maybe it is time to go. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Yeah. Mr. Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want me to mention the other thing, do you?
Nah.
Okay. Up to you. Continue to enjoy Mr. Shanahan's stuff here on this program. And I thank you so much for what you do for this place, because certainly it ain't me. So I do appreciate that.
It's my pleasure.
And he actually brought a bottle of wine. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, baby.
Come on, man. Have yourselves a wonderful day. And most Mr. Shanahan and myself both in concert wish you peace.
That was the show. And now they're going home.
and neither of them know how to dance, but that doesn't stop them from trying, because they're men.
Wow, that's exhausting.
Listen again tomorrow to Ron and Dan's show.
Wow.
Listen to the show.
It was unbelievably painful.